you for giving me this opportunity to come up here and share with you guys today. And thank you, Keith, for this morning's worship. I don't know if you were looking at my notes before, but everything, you've highlighted some passages that I'll be talking about this morning and just orienting our hearts to just serving Jesus every day. That's kind of where I'd like to go this morning. I want to share some ministry updates today. With that, I have three prayer requests. And I also want to finish our time with three short stories. And hopefully along the way, I can share with you three challenges that the Lord has laid on Jeanette and I's heart over this last year as we've begun to serve full-time with Good Seed, as now we're full-time missionaries. And most of you know that it's just kind of been a full circle for us. About 5-6 years ago, we felt that calling to missions, and we've waited 2 years to kind of plan that transition out of my previous occupation of working full-time, running a business, refrigeration and heating and all that kind of stuff, doing electrical. Went to Miller, and just last year in May 2015, we've moved to Olds. So I'll be just sharing with you guys what that's been like, a journey, hopefully. And hopefully during that time, the Lord will minister to your hearts this morning with what he's laid on Jeanette and I's heart. Well, currently I've been getting prepared to speak at a missions conference next week in BC at the Sunnybrae Miller campus. And then following next weekend, we'll be teaching some term seminars at Grace Baptist Church in Airdrie and West Zion in Carstairs next weekend. The details about those seminars we actually gave you in your bulletin. So some of you have brochures, I ran out, but in your bulletin you'll have some information on what those seminars are. Now, some will say, well, what is this seminar about? And I just want to spend just a little bit of time just explaining to you what this seminar involves. First of all, it's a time to personally grow in your faith, grow spiritually yourself. But it's a time to rethink how we share the gospel with our friends, our family, our coworkers. Just in Sunday school, we were talking about it this morning, how we've all been given a sphere of influence that's unique to each one of us, that we can be impactful to those people. We all have a mission field that we can do. And we just want to think, how do we share the gospel with those people that we interact with regularly on a daily basis? We know our country is becoming more and more biblically illiterate. They know nothing about the Bible or very little. People are moving into our communities that have very different worldviews. Their understanding of who God is and what he's like is a lot different than what the biblical understanding of what God is and what the Bible says God is. So how do we share the gospel with those kinds of people that we interact with in our spheres of influence? And we just want to address those types of things at this seminar on a practical level. How do we share the gospel respectfully but clearly? How do we not make assumptions when it comes to sharing our faith? And that's term in a nutshell. I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but you have a brochure and this bulletin that'll explain to you a little bit about it. If you guys want to register, please come talk to me. There's a way that you can register on the back of this form. Come talk to Jeanette and I. We'd love to see you. We're not that far. It's Carstairs and it's Didsbury, and you can even mix it up. So it's Friday evening in Airdrie. Saturday morning is the next module. And then Sunday evening and Monday evening at the West Zion Church in near Carstairs there. So please let us know if you can make it. We'd love to have you there. Speak to Jeanette and I after the service. Now, on a more personal note, since starting with Good Seed, I'll be honest, it's been quite a shaping process for me. Sandpaper doesn't always feel good. It's not nice getting, you know, you got the smooth sandpaper, there's the rough sandpaper, and then anyone who does a bit of a carpentry or woodworking, you know, you got to get the rough edges off first before you start doing that fine grit. Well, I think I've been on the hardest grit in some areas. And it doesn't feel nice all the time. But I know that the Lord has been refining me and my leadership and my teamwork skills to serve him better both inside and outside of the ministry. And honestly, that's my first prayer request for you this morning, is that I would learn to humble myself and let the Lord teach me and shape me by his Spirit and through his word. And I've really struggled, to be honest. I've been very discouraged in the early part of last year. But the Lord is showing me that we all need grace. And we all need to extend grace to others. You know, Jesus demonstrated servant leadership. He took on the towel of servant leadership. And I think that I'm beginning to learn what there's a contrast between the way the world tells us to lead and to serve, and I don't even think the word serve is in the word leadership in the world standards. It's about leading and being the boss and being the one that tells everybody what to do. But when you look at the biblical model of leadership, it comes with humility. Christ came to serve, not to be served. And I'm just learning more and more about that, is that, you know, coming from the secular workforce, it comes with its strengths. It comes with a lot of skills that I learned over the years, but it also comes with some pretty decent baggage. And when you go into the best of intentions, with the best of intentions into ministry, sometimes those old habits come back quickly. I heard an example when I was out at Miller, and it really described me well. It's like a motorboat. You know a motorboat, what's it have behind it? It's got that wake, right? That wake that leaves the motorboat behind it, right? Well, if you can get that motorboat going, sometimes that wake can knock some people over along the way. So I've had to go back, and I've had to humbly just ask for grace, and I'm asking for grace, and I need to extend grace to others, and I'm just learning that. But I'm also learning that as you go forward, those old habits can come back quickly. They really can. I was reminded of a story of Jacob. Jacob, when he's about to meet his brother Esau again, after almost over a decade. You can find the story in chapter 33 of Genesis, but let me just summarize it for you. Jacob is about to meet Esau again, and he must be wondering, will there be revenge or will there be reconciliation? What's going to happen? Remember, he stole Esau's birthright. That's what Jacob did, and they had not seen each other since. Before Jacob goes to meet his estranged brother, well, what does he do? He divides his family up, and he edges closer to Esau, and he does this division so just in case things might not go favorably, maybe not all of his family will end up caught up in the conflict. And he walks ahead of his entourage, and he's bowing humbly 7 times in humility. In this passage, we glimpse something of a new Jacob. Having wrestled with God, there is a greater sense of both humility and confidence in God. With a spirit of grace, though, Esau embraces Jacob. It's a wonderful story of reconciliation. But you know what? At the same time, old habits, they die hard. Esau wants Jacob to travel with him back to their homeland. Now, rather than being honest with Esau, Jacob again deceives his brother. He tells Esau that he'll join him soon, but his flocks need to take the journey slowly. And in reality, he has no intention of joining Esau at this time. He's heading towards the Jordan Valley, towards Seir. Or not to Seir, where Esau wanted him to go. And you know, that's my first challenge for you this morning that the Lord has laid on my heart that I want to share with you. You see, when we come to faith, we begin this process called transformation. Sanctification. We begin a transformation process called sanctification. We take on a new identity, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Lord transforms us through the Word of God and the sanctifying work of His Holy Spirit. We sang about it this morning. We wrestle with God often in this process, but when we humbly depend on Him alone, we come out refined. And God loves us enough to wrestle with us and sand out those rough areas in our lives. But just like Jacob, those old habits die hard. Just pause for a moment. Think and reflect on your own life, your own walk of maturity. What are some of the areas in your life that you need to give over to God to be transformed? I encourage you to humbly come to God with those areas in your life. Lay them at the foot of the cross. God's word says that when you acknowledge those failures to Him, He is faithful and just and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We just read this in 1 John 1:9 this morning. Notice what it says. It says, He, if we acknowledge, if we confess, the word confess is actually acknowledge, to agree with, to say, yes, Lord, that was a rotten thing that I just did. It's not confession in the sense of a confession booth and that kind of stuff. That also has a whole stigma with that word, confess. But the word confess actually means acknowledge. And then we said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. The if is the conditional statement here. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And what's interesting is that term, He will, is actually in the Greek, it's a perfect tense. Now, we don't have this in the English, but the perfect tense means if we do this, the perfect tense is it's done. It's as soon as we confess and acknowledge our sins to Him, it's done. It's a finished business. It's not by our own works that we're cleansing our own sin and our own unrighteousness. It's all God doing that in us. But we need to come to Him humbly and confess, acknowledge, agree with what the Word of God says about the way we should live our lives to Him. And He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And I just encourage you this morning, acknowledge those things before God and let Him do that work in us. Let Him be that sandpaper in you. The next update I want to share with you is our ministry schedule. Well, since we've arrived at Olds, let me just say thank you, thank you, thank you for being such a welcoming church family. Jeanette and I appreciate you guys so much, and I appreciate, just as Pastor James said, I know that you guys are helping rally my troops. Well, Jeanette's trying to do it on her own while I'm gone, and I just thank you so much. I feel so at peace that I can just know that she's in a good place and she's got the help she needs. So thank you. And I just thank you, Pastor James, and you guys for giving me the opportunities to serve and Jeanette to serve and just the number of different capacities that you've allowed us to do. And I just want to thank you again for that. Looking back over the last year, I've just been given so many opportunities. And it's just exciting to see how God is just using me right where we're at. People used to say, Rob, I'd tell them I'm becoming a missionary. Well, where are you going to go serve? They're thinking of some exotic tribal jungle or something like that. Olds, Alberta. Okay. But you know what? The Lord will use us right where we're at. It's interesting. The mission field's coming to us. They're moving to our community. We don't have to go across the ocean. We just have to go across the street. That's our mission field. And there are those that are called to go across the seas. Don't get me wrong. But it's just so comforting knowing that God is just opening doors of opportunity. Well, this year is shaping up to be quite a schedule. I'll be the speaker at Missions Conference in BC. I got a 2-day seminar that I'm just telling you about next weekend. I'll be speaking at a Missions Fest in Manitoba the following weekend after that, and then on that same weekend, I'm preaching in Portage of Prairie, and then I've got my final module week at Miller. I'm almost done school. This is it. School at Miller. Anyways, I'll always be learning, but yeah, and then I'll be speaking and preaching at a Sunday school in Saskatoon, and then in March, we're preparing to do a 2-week tour through Manitoba and Saskatchewan. We'll be doing 6 seminars back-to-back over the span of 2 weeks. And then here in Three Hills, we're actually doing a training seminar for One Hope Canada out here in 3 years. And then I get to walk the stage in April, so I'm looking forward to that. I think I got to advance one more, yeah. And then we'll be conducting a 3-day seminar in northern Saskatchewan for Nipawin Bible College. They're wanting us to start teaching at their college. So we'll be doing that. And then I've already started booking some times this summer. I'll be a Bible camp speaker at Cypress Hills. And then already in the fall, we're planning some more seminars down at High River. But this schedule leads me to my second prayer request. Jeanette and I have been busy with a lot of new normals since we've arrived. Almost too busy at times. New baby, new home, new school, new ministry, new friends that we don't really have yet, but we're getting there. And I mean that you guys are our friends, but we're getting there. It's just that, and maybe it's the schedule. Why we don't have time to really rub shoulders all the time. People are like, well, Rob's so busy, how do we get together with him? But, you know, and that's honestly, it's mostly me in this. Anyone here who knows Jeanette and I, it's Jeanette that's holding the reins back on her energetic husband that wants to just take on everything. And all that said, we just don't want to forget that our kids need us. Our kids need to function as one, as a ministry in our family. The opportunities are growing, which is great, and that's really exciting for us, but we're trying to develop some strategies for our family to help us make decisions better on what to take on and what to let pass. And we need wisdom in this, and we want to draw our children into this process as well, letting them be a part of this, not just sitting on the sidelines. We've heard too many stories of missionary kids who grow to resent the ministry or the mission because of their lack of involvement in their family. So please pray for Jeanette and I as we grow in our faith as a family and help others grow while doing it. The scriptures challenged us in determining how do we zero in exactly on what God wants us to be doing. We were talking about it this morning in Sunday school. What is God's purpose for us in life? Well, as far as our families go, let me read this passage to you. It's a familiar passage, but I think this summarizes it. Next slide. Here it goes. Hear, O Israel. This is from Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Now look here. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. And when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames and on the houses of your gates. All of our families, we all have a vision and a mission that we should have for our family. And that vision and mission must be, I think, needs to be filtered through this passage. When we rise in the morning, is the word of God on our lips. When we're going to bed, are our children seeing that? We want our kids to treasure the word of God in their heart every day. Is the word of God in our adjustable category or the essential category of our lives? You know, getting dressed is in the essential category of our lives. I notice none of you forgot to get dressed this morning. That's a good thing. It's not in the adjustable category. But I think that so often in myself, just God's word becomes part of the adjustable category, the optional category. And it needs to be the essential category. And my second challenge to you this morning builds on the first one. If we're to let this work of the Spirit and the word of God shape us and mold us, we need to be in His Word. The Spirit and the Word of God are married to each other. They cannot be separated. God's Word will challenge us and give us opportunities then to acknowledge those sins to Him and allow Him to do the work of sanding us and smoothing us out. The Lord has challenged me with this year. If our children and our families around us do not see us practically serving God in our everyday lives, in our homes, if reading God's word is something that is only to be discussed but not acted on, well then the question I have is this. Is it possible that we're allowing ourselves to be filled and satisfied and forget the Lord? You see, Deuteronomy in this passage warns us about this just a few verses later. It says this, when the Lord brings you into the land He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give to you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. This is a warning. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Friends, we need to be careful that our comforts have not caused us to forget the word that has delivered us from the bondage of sin that once held us captive. I encourage you, make it a practice to ask God to search your own heart. Ask yourself, has God moved from the essential category into the adjustable category, to the convenience category of our life? Are you remembering to feed your physical needs but neglecting your spiritual ones? I need to remember to ask myself these questions regularly. Search me, God. Reveal to me where I am not doing these things. It says this, it says, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Put on your spiritual clothes every day. I want to give you and move on to the next ministry update. And this is what's going on ministry-wise. One of the goals of Good Seed is to make a clear gospel presentation to as many languages as possible. It is possible to have someone come to know the Lord through another language, but nothing replaces them learning about the Word of God in their own heart language. And because of this, we're excited to announce the two major translations that were currently released just recently, By This Name in German and All the Prophets Have Spoken in Farsi or Persian. Our translation teams have worked really hard on these two books. There was times where the work actually had to halt and stop, but we're just so thankful that the effort and the time that went into it, now these books are available for ministries and churches to be used in the area of evangelism and discipleship. Additionally, translations of the Lamb have been completed in Amharic, that's spoken in Ethiopia, Czech, and Faroese, which is on the Faroe Islands, it's near Iceland. And Russian also. The Story That Matters, which some of you have gotten a copy of this morning, it's another book, has been available now in Hungarian, and By This Name is now also available in Hebrew. So we're just excited to start. Our creating tools side of our ministry is really starting to see some of these long-term translation projects come to completion. Another exciting announcement is that we're nearing the completion of our 7-year project, No Ordinary Story. Now, most of you have been to this. Some of you, I think, here at the old First Baptist, we did it in Easter a couple of years, this musical drama presentation that shares the gospel in a 90-minute musical that in both theme, like drama and song, that presents the gospel in its entirety, and it's not in its entirety, but they'll have a good understanding of it. And it's accurate, it's objective, and it's entertaining. And it's important to us that those who are unfamiliar with the Bible could grasp the central meaning of the gospel in 90 minutes. And that's where I want to end with my first story. I want to end three stories here with our time. And it's about this musical. Over the 3-evening performance last Easter, we had over 1,000 people attend. Now, I brought some unbelieving friends to this musical. The first evening, I brought a man who immigrated from China 18 years ago. His name's Simon. I met him playing recreational volleyball 5 years ago. And it has taken quite some time to build that friendship with Simon, that he could actually believe it was genuine. I wasn't just there as a salesman. I wasn't trying to sell him on a religion to join. No, I actually had a heartfelt, genuine care for him. And it took a long time. He has never stepped foot into a church before this musical. And after the musical, after telling me how much he enjoyed the musical, and here's what he said. He said, you should take this on the road and sell it. That was his enthusiasm. But here's what he told me he learned. He said he learned 3 things. He says that God's name is Yahweh, Jesus is Yahweh, and Jesus can make you perfect. Now, Simon is very fragile, and he's been hurt deeply by the Christian community in the past. The second performance, I brought a Hindu friend named Sirik who had been, he converted to Catholicism, and he brought his son. And I met him while running my business with my dad before I went into missions. He came to the first performance and he said, my son is asking the exact same questions that are in this play. So he brought his son the second year. Well, let me just summarize where these two are at. Simon believes that God would never accept him and even hates him because of the life choices that he's made. But he's always asking me questions about my faith. Even just recently, he's starting to open up and tell me some of the deepest, darkest secrets in his life. Sirik's son, he's mad at God for the speech impediment that he was born with, and that he prayed to God that he would heal his mom's mental illness, severe mental illness that's hospitalized her over the last 9 years, and he just has a hard time doing that. We were supposed to do a course, we tried it, and he just wasn't open to that. And my prayer request, please, pray for Simon and Sirik and his family, that I'd be continuing to get those opportunities to share my faith with them. But in both cases, there has to be a sense of genuine love and care. We're not selling this. We don't sell the gospel. It starts with the heart. You actually have to care for these people. They can see right through you when you're trying to sell the gospel. The gospel is free, but it starts by drawing out the character of God in your life. You yourselves are the written letter written on our hearts so that it's known and read by everyone. My second story is from last summer, a First Nations Bible camp that I spoke in August. Sorry, I missed that. One more. I was able to bring Justice with me. I was pretty excited about that, to bond with him for the week while I got the chance to share the gospel. Now, this has probably been the hardest camp that I've ever spoke at, probably because I wasn't as entirely prepared as I'd wanted to be. I found out when I arrived that I was teaching 7 to 14-year-olds instead of a teen camp, which is 15 to 18. That's what I thought I was teaching. So I'm teaching this widespread. I can't even remember one little girl. I'm like, oh, how old are you? She's like, I'm 6. Her sister's like, no, you're 7. So I was like, oh boy, so what do I got here? But you know what? The Lord just taught me how simple the gospel can be, even for a 6-year-old. I felt the attacks of discouragement. I felt feelings of inadequacy throughout the whole week. And all throughout those spiritual highs and lows, it was quite a roller coaster ride for me. But the scripture passage that the Lord reminded me of was 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6. It says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. That's what encouraged me. It's not coming from me. It's coming through from Him. As you can see here, I had a pretty good audience. One of the things we do is after teaching the tabernacle in the chapel, I take them out and I tour them through the tabernacle through a life-size field. I stake it out life-size, and it really does just bring to life the bring to life this elaborate visual aid that is rarely taught in churches today. And the kids are just captivated by the whole thing. You can see me standing here. What I've got is I'm standing in the holy place, a holy of holies, and all the kids are standing behind this red flag tape that I got marked on the ground, and that represented the curtain that was in the veil, but separating the holy place from the holy of holies. And when I started tying the concept of what Jesus did on the cross and how that temple curtain was torn from top to bottom, showing us that that separation between man and God has now been torn because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I explained that when they put their trust in Jesus, and if they believe what He did, dying in their place, taking on their punishment as their lamb for their sin, then the Bible says that they can come boldly into His presence. And one little girl, she looked at this flag. She went like this, I believe that. And then she's looking back, and a bunch of kids move forward. She looks at her counselor, and she's confused. She's like, You don't have to remain separated from Jesus. You can come too. The simplicity of articulate faith of a kid. The gospel is simple. It can be understood by all. Well, my last story I want to share with you is one that my children have been challenging me with. The kids have wanted to ride the train throughout Calgary last year. And I needed to back, I want to back up for just a second. Those of you who haven't seen the musical, the story place setting takes place on a train. And there's this Bible teacher that gives out these books to these two on a train. So Justice says, we need to bring books on the train, Dad, so we can give them gospel tracts. And it's that small book that you guys all have, The Story That Matters. And Justice wanted to do this. Well, he started giving them out to people on the train. He'd just say, would you like a book? Would you like a gift? And most people would not refuse a book gift given to them from a six-year-old boy. But soon enough, a lady put this book quietly beside her, on the seat beside her, just being polite. And then I just started praying that someone would pick up that book. And there's this lady that picks up this book. And she starts reading it. And she looks around and, okay, she starts reading it. And she had gotten in at least 8 to 10 pages before we had to get off on her stop. Later that same day, I left a book. We were at the Devonian Gardens and we were playing around there and we left a book on the table. And Justice said, Dad, you forgot the book. And I said, no, son, let's just leave it there. And let's just pray that someone would get this book. So we walked about 50 paces and Justice and I just prayed. Said, Lord, would you find someone? Justice prayed it. And no more than 10 seconds passed after he said amen, this gentleman sat down and started reading the book. Now, don't ask me how I got these pictures. I'm trying to, hey, son, let's take a picture. But I'm not sure what the results of will be for these folks that received books from my son. But I know that he has such a heart for the lost. And on the way home, He said, Dad, we don't have enough books for these people on the train. We need more books. How are they going to know about Jesus? And the challenge I have for you, and it's for me, what's holding me back from being so bold? Is it just because it's going to be too awkward? Or I'm too old? Well, I think, to be honest, I'm just fearing rejection. And I'm letting that old habit of being ashamed of the gospel creep into my life. I am forgetting when I do that, that Jesus promised to be with us always. And we will receive power from above when we boldly walk in his strength and not our own. And my third challenge I close with is this. What's holding you back from sharing your faith? Let me encourage you with God's word again. Follow with me on the screen. This time it's in the net. Now we have such confidence in God through Christ. Not that we are adequate in ourselves or to consider as if it was coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God who made us adequate to be servants of a new covenant. Friends, that new covenant is the gospel, the good news, and we get to be ministers of it. What a privilege we have. We need not fear that which God fully equips us to do. Let's not be filled and satisfied and forget about the gospel. Let's not put the word in the adjustable category of our lives. Let's keep it in the essential category of our lives. Put on our spiritual clothes every day. Strive to grow in your faith as a family every day and help others grow in their understanding of the gospel while doing it. Thank you for letting me share with you this morning.
Thank you, Robert. And if you will stand with me and turn to number 295, we'll sing the first verse in closing. 295. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Tell me the story of Jesus,